Let us turn in God's holy word to the book of Exodus and to chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and our verse for today is verse 16, which is the ninth commandment. For the benefit of those who are visiting with us today, let me just say that we have been going through the book of Exodus. And as we've come to chapter 20, we've mostly been taking a verse or a couple of verses at a time as we go through the Ten Commandments. And so this morning, we've come to the ninth commandment, which in verse 16 is as follows. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The ancient Greek storyteller Aesop, who wrote Aesop's fables, was once asked what was the most useful thing in the world, and he replied, the tongue. And then he was asked, what is the most harmful thing in the world? And again he replied, the tongue. Since we use our tongues so much, and we use words with our tongues, it is no surprise that God has given us a commandment that is about the use of our tongues and the use of words. The ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, is a commandment against lying to the hurt of our neighbor. Our neighbor is not just the person who lives next door. Our neighbor is our fellow man. This commandment concerns not only lying with the tongue, but lying by all forms of communication, the pen, the written word, or today, the computer keyboard, against anyone. Bearing false witness against our neighbor also involves various forms of lying. It covers gossip, talking about people in a way that damages their reputation, whether that be by our tongues, which is slander, or in print, which is libel. The ninth commandment is also concerned with deception, with speaking unjustly against our neighbor. It is concerned with backbiting against our neighbor. And when we think of the nature of this world, we can certainly understand why God gave this commandment. As we come to consider what is involved in this commandment in a little bit more detail, what God requires of us in it, we need to do so in the context of the world in general. And so we begin by considering, first of all, the house of lies this world is. The house of lies this world is. Why is there so much lying in this world? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there was no lying in this world? But there is a lot of lying that goes on. Why should it be? And to answer that question, we have to go back to the beginning. The first sin in this world involved lying. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent came to the first woman, Eve, and he told her blatant lies. When Eve told the serpent that God had said concerning the tree in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent responded, you will not surely die. And that was a blatant lie from serpent, whom we know as Satan, a blatant lie from Satan to the woman. When Eve did eat of that tree, she did die, and Satan knew that she would die. She died spiritually, and she would die physically. Satan deceived Eve. He also bore false witness against God. He made God out to be a liar. He made it appear to Eve that God was unnecessarily restrictive, when that was not the case. Adam and Eve could eat of all the other trees in the garden. The particular tree in the midst of the garden served a special purpose. It was to test the obedience of Adam and Eve. But Satan mentioned no word of that to Eve when he came to her. He withheld that truth from her in order to get her to rebel against God, and it worked. And the result was misery for Eve and for Adam, who also ate from the tree in the midst of the garden, and it was misery for the whole human race after Adam and Eve. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Christ said to certain Jews who opposed him, "You are of your father the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies." According to Jesus, the devil is a liar, and he is the father of lies. And the devil sees to it that lying flourishes in this world. And this isn't some biased idea that Christians have about the world. And the reality is, well, actually, the world's not that bad. There's not really that much lying that goes on. The world is that bad. And many thinkers with little sympathy for Christianity have looked at the nature of this world, and they have concluded the very same thing. And they have even called this world a house of lies. An Indian philosopher by the name of Jiddu Krishnamurti said in a speech in 1934, "We have to face the fact that we are living in a world of lies. Lies are so prevalent that they have become our reality. We have lost touch with what is true and authentic. We have become slaves to the illusions of our own making. We have built a house of lies, and we are trapped inside it." The Russian novelist and dissident Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Even in the best of all hearts, there remains a small corner of evil. Since then we have a house of lies. What else is a prison?" The Swedish film director Ingmar Bergman once said, "The world is a den of thieves and night is falling. Evil breaks its chains and runs through the world like a mad dog. The poison affects us all. No one escapes." American journalist and cultural critic H.L. Mencken, speaking of lies in the world of politics, wrote in his book, The American Mercury, "Politics is the art of achieving the maximum amount of hypocrisy, deception, and lies with the minimum amount of effort. It is a house of lies." In recent years, many people have become utterly disillusioned with politicians because of so many lies. They see men and women setting themselves up as people of integrity in order to get into office, and especially leading up to an election, making all kinds of promises. when they get into office and some pressure is applied, there's twisting and there's turning. There is being economical with the truth for political advantage. There is lack of transparency, and there's even barefaced lying. And all the promises that were made are abandoned or forgotten. Much of the advertising industry is based on a lie that your life would be so much better with this or that product. The advertisers of alcoholic drinks show happy and healthy people in their adverts laughing and drinking together. And the impression intentionally given is that if you take this drink, you too will be happy, just like these people. And life will be so good if you drink our beverage. It's a form of deception. It is not true. They don't show the alcoholic who got hooked on their particular brand, who ruined his health, his marriage, and is in financial ruin. That particular truth is not going to get the product too many sales. There are the lies of scams. Someone phones you up telling you they're from your bank and they need to access your account. Lies in order to steal your hard-earned money. There are the lies that academics at universities tell their students. There's no absolute truth, only different versions of the truth. Most academics doing this, no doubt, don't believe what they say is a lie. They have convinced themselves that the only absolute truth is that there is no absolute truth, without seeing the obvious contradiction of their belief. They have succeeded in lying to themselves and are teaching their lives to many people, many of them young people. And many more examples of bearing false witness by lying could be cited. But perhaps the saddest truth of all is that this ninth commandment is broken by those who profess to be Christians. Let us remember, these Ten Commandments were given first and foremost to the people of God, the Israelites. All too often, professing Christians in many churches have borne false witness against a brother or sister in Christ through gossip and slander. And aside from anything else, it's a bad testimony to the world, not to mention the harm it causes to the body of Christ. Breaking the ninth commandment causes great harm, whether it's in society or in the church. And it's worth giving some thought to the extent of the damage lying can cause. So from the house of lies this world is, let us consider, secondly, the harm lying causes to our neighbor. The harm lying causes to our neighbor. The ninth commandment is specifically concerned with lying that hurts someone else. It is, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. There is actually such a thing as lying for your neighbor. Not against your neighbor, but for your neighbor. The commandment isn't dealing with that. And an example of lying for your neighbor is where innocent lives are at stake, and the cost of lying is much smaller than the cost of telling the truth. Take the case of a German civilian smuggling Jews out of Germany in a secret compartment of a large vehicle during the Second World War. As he approaches the German border, Nazi soldiers asked the driver if there are any Jews in the vehicle. Now, if the driver tells the truth, the Jews will be removed from the vehicle and then they will be shot and killed. If he lies, there is a good possibility the lives of those Jews will be spared. This is lying for your neighbour. And in that situation, to tell the truth is a duty, but it is a duty only toward those who have a right to the truth. It doesn't mean the lie is right, but it is the lesser of two evils. There are exceptional situations like this which demonstrate that in a world of sin, in a world of lies, not every situation is straightforward. But the ninth commandment isn't dealing with the exceptional cases. This ninth commandment is dealing with straightforward situations. It's dealing with everyday situations. And God says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Lying can cost a life, or it can cost many lives. Adolf Hitler bore false testimony against his neighbors, the Jews. And he totally justified lying in regard to them. He once said, maybe on more than one occasion he said it, tell a lie loud enough and long enough and people will believe it. And that's what he himself did. The lies he told in his speeches stirred up animosity in many German citizens against Jews. The lies Hitler told led ultimately to the Holocaust and the death of around 6 million Jews. And it illustrates very vividly that link between murder and lying that Christ made, and that I quoted from earlier in John chapter 8 and verse 44, where Christ, speaking of the devil, said he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. A murderer in the dock, in a court, can't really be trusted to tell the truth. He is going to lie to cover up his deed. But it's not just murderers who are liars. The harm caused to millions of people by all kinds of belief systems which reject God and his word is incalculable. In our own society, the great lie of secularism and postmodernism is that if it feels right, it is right. And that is how a lot of people in the world live. And that is a lie from the devil. If the standard for how we should live our lives is set by how we feel, people's carnal nature will lead them into the most corrupt vices imaginable. And that is exactly what we see happening in our society. Most people used to believe the values of the Bible were good and virtuous, even if they didn't profess to live up to that particular standard. But now these same values are viewed as evil by many. And what the Bible condemns as evil is now called good by many. You'll know of many ways in which this is happening in society and the harm it is causing to society, to many people in society. I just give one example, one you may have read about. It involves a particular school in London for young children. And in 2018, parents whose four-year-old son attended this school made a complaint against the school because it was teaching LGBT education to their son. The school was also demanding that all the children take part in an LGBT parade. And these particular parents, and a good many other parents, wanted to withdraw their children from classes where this was being taught. And without going into all the details of the case, the parents who had made the initial complaint took the school to court for not backing down, not allowing them to withdraw their child from this kind of education. In court, when asked about the school's teaching on family structures, none of the school's leadership team, while under oath, would admit that a mother must be biologically female. Both the head teacher and her daughter, who also works at the school, when in the witness box, testified that a woman was someone who identified as a woman, whether that was a biological woman or a biological man. The judge did not seem to see anything inherently wrong or twisted with such a suggestion, and in the end, the school won the case. Now, when you have a judge in a court of law not objecting to the foolishness and the lie that a mother doesn't have to be a biological female, and you have a judge not objecting to the idea that a biological man can identify as a woman, then we are in the area of insanity. And that is what the lies of the secular and postmodern thinking does to a society. Outside of secular thinking, there are also the false teachings of anti-Christian religions that cause great harm. Religions which teach millions of people a way of salvation that's false, whether that be a religion of good works or a religion which replaces Christ with someone else. The devil has sold lies to the teachers of these religions, and they have passed on these same lies to their followers. The false witness concerning Christ, concerning how to find true peace with God, does millions of people great harm. It leads them away from Christ, and it leads them into a lost eternity. Christians too cause harm when they bear false witness against their neighbor. I think it was last Sabbath morning we looked at the example of Ananias and Sapphira when we considered the 8th commandment, you shall not steal. But as well as stealing in that example, there was, of course, the lying. Ananias and Sapphira had lied to the apostles. They had lied to the Holy Spirit. They pretended that they were giving the proceeds of all their property to the cause of the church when they held back a certain amount. They could have held back that certain amount and told the truth. We've sold this property, and here's how much of it we're giving to the cause of the church. But they lied. They pretended that they were giving all of the proceeds. And we know the harm that came to Ananias and Sapphira. They died. They were struck down because they bore false witness against the church and against God. Well, are we always truthful? Are we always totally truthful? Are there situations where you speak a certain amount of truth, but you leave out certain details that might put you at a disadvantage? Do you withhold certain information that might give your neighbor a different, perhaps a more negative impression of you? Do you ever exaggerate another person's feelings? What about misleading, misquoting, or misinterpreting what a brother or sister in Christ really said or really intended to say, and it's to their hurt? Maybe it damages their reputation. Yes, we who claim to know God, His Son, His salvation, we too have tongues that can so easily cause so much hurt to others. Who hasn't said something they later regretted saying? Gossip, slander, lies. So much hurt and damage caused to others by that one little organ, the tongue. The Apostle James, writing to professing Christians of his day, speaks in chapter 3 of the great damage the tongue can do to others. And he says in verse 5 of that chapter, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles." All the size of our tongues, yet they can cause so much damage. James says of our tongues in verses 9 and 10, "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, made in the image of God." Out of the same mouth, James says, proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. How easily, with just a few words, we break this ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. How can you protect yourself against breaking this commandment? It's with that we finish. In relation to this commandment, we've thought about the house of lies this world is, the harm lying causes to our neighbor. We consider thirdly and more briefly the help we need. The help we need. The opposite of bearing false witness is to bear a true witness, to be truthful. God calls us to be people of the truth. The pattern of this world is to say that there's no such thing as the same truth for everyone. We are told what is true for someone might not be true for you. And there are some things in life that are subjective. We acknowledge that. It is a matter of personal opinion. There are some things that might be true for you that might not be true for me. For example, one sports car enthusiast may love the style and the colour and the shape of a particular sports car. But his friend, who's also a sports car enthusiast, thinks this is the ugliest car I have ever seen in my life. And the truth is that for one man it is beautiful, but it's equally true that that sports car is ugly to the other man. And the same goes for all kinds of things in life. God gives us choices over many things, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're all different. We all have different tastes and likes and dislikes. But when it comes to how God requires us to live our lives, there are objective truths, absolute truths, and to deny those truths is to speak lies. It is an absolute truth that there is a God. And anyone who propagates the statement that there is no God propagates a lie. It is an absolute truth that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior of sinners. And for someone to state that there's another Savior or another way to heaven is to state a lie. God Himself is truth. He is the reference point, if you like. He is the source of truth. That is where we get truth from. It is truth from the throne room of heaven. God himself is the giver of truth. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 we read, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." Numbers 23 verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie." God never bears false witness against anyone. His witness about all people is true. And then also Christ is truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Christ never bore false witness against anyone. His word is true. Christ says in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Here is Christ saying that all the words God speaks, all the words that we have in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are all truth. God speaks truth. Christ speaks truth. The word of God is truth. So that means the closer we get to God and to Christ, the closer we seek to live our lives according to God's word, the more we will be influenced by God and Christ and the word. And the more likely we are going to be people of the truth and not bear false witness against our neighbor. But we need more than that. We need to have our hearts changed if we are going to know some success in keeping this commandment. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, because on our own, our simply knowing this ninth commandment is not enough to prevent us from breaking it. It's the person who has received a new heart, a heart of flesh in place of the stony heart, who receives help to guard their tongue, who receives help to not bear false witness against their neighbor. And perhaps for someone, that's what you need more than anything else. You need a new heart through conversion to Christ. You need to forsake other things, certain sins perhaps, that have been packaged and presented to you as innocent. You have been lied to by the world, and you've believed that there are certain things, certain conduct in life, and there's nothing wrong with it, when God's word tells you there is everything wrong with it. And you need to see those deeds for what they really are: sins. And if God calls them sins, sins is what they are. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you take God at his word and confess and repent of your sins and submit your life to Christ, then God, by the power of his Spirit, would help you with keeping all of the Ten Commandments, including this one: you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And that would bring honor and glory to God. So to sum up, in this ninth commandment, God requires all people to reject all forms of false, misleading, and deceitful speech against our neighbor, and to always speak truthfully and honestly. And we can only know true success in this by having our hearts changed by God and knowing his Son as our own personal Savior. Let knowing that bearing false witness against your neighbor dishonors Christ be your motivation to keep this ninth commandment. Amen.